Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Artists Helping Artists. We are the number one blog I can really talk. We are the number one art show on Blog Talk Radio. This is Leslie Zeta, and I am trying to multitask, and obviously I can't multitask and talk at the same time.
You did. I'm all set.
Okay, because I'm going to tell everyone what happened. So sure. Leslie was responsible for writing the show notes this week for the show, and I was going to do it on the plane last night and couldn't get internet, and I was too tired. So I came home last night. This is the funny part. I came home last night, and I had a blog post I had to get out. So I was doing one of those things, and I wonder if anyone else has ever done that, where you're on your computer and you're writing, and you're literally nodding and falling asleep like every paragraph. And all I remember is publishing it, and I did one of those where I woke up this morning and I sat up in bed and I was like, what did I publish? Because I had no idea if it was coherent or not. And I ran downstairs. That was clear. And then I had to put the show notes together for today's show. So then I sent them to Margaret at some random Gmail address that I don't know why I have it in my computer. And as we were getting ready to come live, she's like, I still don't have them. So that's why I can't talk and send emails at the same time. Very long story.
You know, I have this new, I can't say I have a theory, but I have something rolling around in my head. Because you know how at the start of September, we all say, oh my gosh, it's such a busy time.
Mm-hmm.
Like it used to be, you know, if you had young children or if you have children going to school, that made it busy, crazy. Then you get to the holidays and it's always, oh my gosh, it is such a busy time of year because of family and holidays. Then you sort of roll through a little bit of a lull, but before you know it, you sort of get gobsmacked. And I think now it may be that it's always just a busy time, and I can't blame it on anything except life is so busy.
Girlfriend and I, who we both were on Instagram for home decor, and so we talk a million times a day. We are now laughing hysterically because at least 100 times either one of us has said, next month's going to be so much better. It's going to be so much more calm. And it's not happening. And I think I'm my own evil enemy in that sense. It's my own fault. But you're right, Margaret. September busy? Nah, this is every day, every week.
This is every day. So it makes me want to get out my, like, I always think of it as the magic eraser where I take my to-do list and you edit it. You have to, like, pare it down to what are the most important essential things to you and start with those because you're never going to get to the unimportant ones. So why clutter your list or your mind with it? Like, it's time to just figure out a better way. Anyway, yes, there's a ton going on.
We call that process where you start crossing things off that really weren't that important to do. We call that shedding. You just start shedding those things that you just can't get done. It's a perfect terminology.
You know what? I love it because once I do that, I have the same sense of accomplishment as if I did them. I just sort of feel like, okay, got rid of the unimportant stuff. Let's sort of boil this down. So, well, I know you've been crazy busy, but I do have a question for you. Did I see a painting of a cow in your house?
Oh, that's two or 3 years old. Yeah.
Oh, I thought, all right.
It's in my craft room. No, don't worry. I haven't been painting.
Oh,
I would be
standing
on the building shouting but I do have a lot of paintings I have to do for the Waco house. So I just, for those of you who don't know, my husband and I bought a very inexpensive little house in Waco, Texas, as a project for me. And I'm doing great in some areas and failing miserably in others, to fix this house up to use it as an opportunity for me to work with a lot of brands who fortunately want to work with me when it comes to remodeling. And it's going to be an Airbnb. And I had a huge deadline yesterday with a big, big brand to finish the front of the house, the outside. And so I was supposed to take pictures yesterday morning, but I can happily say at 3 p.m. yesterday – I got all the pictures done. And things that I never imagined would be done, like the front walkway, which didn't even have any bricks purchased on Tuesday, was done by 3 o'clock on Thursday. The thing was planted. The grass, the sod that came in the 100-degree heat in Texas doesn't turn as green as I would have liked it to, but that's okay. It'll take a while. But, it looks amazing. I can't believe it.
It's really
exciting. Yeah, so I have been there. I have to go back in about 3 weeks for another deadline I have to take more pictures of a guest bathroom. That's going to be amazing. And it's just crazy. It's really, really a fun process. There's parts about it that I love, and I'm getting to that love part where I can start putting in the creative touches and really kind of getting the finishing done. The things like redoing the sewer line, which we had to do this week, and the, you know, pier beam foundation and the electrical and all that stuff is really not fun. It just costs money.
It's not glamorous.
No,
but
it's
really important. It's not glamorous, but it's really important. So
very true.
That's what makes it a good house that will still be standing in a little while. You know, it's not.
Yeah, and it's over 100 years old, which is kind of cool and exciting. But, yeah. So it's all good. Very good.
Very cool.
Okay, so today's show. We've touched a little bit here and there on Pinterest, but what is really funny to me is when we do these early shows about something that I'm just kind of figuring out, and then like a year later we do them when I've been using it all the time, and I realize, wow, what a difference when you actually know what you're talking about and you've lived it and you've breathed it.
Right. Right. Well, you know, I have to say, I'll be very upfront and tell everyone I asked for this show. Because I knew that Leslie had, we had talked about how Pinterest drives traffic. I'd been reading a lot of artists talking about how when they actually looked at their analytics, at who's coming to their site and where they're coming from and all that, they all said, oh my gosh, it's Pinterest and I'm not doing enough. And I have been trying to, this is like my lifelong project, get my act together. So I will tell you that I now have my business on QuickBooks, and I hope every listener out there applauds, because let me tell you, for me to sit down and spend a day doing that is kind of remarkable. But it's like you can do all this work, and you can paint all these paintings, and you can produce whatever it is that you love to make. But if you're not getting it seen, you know, you're doing it for yourself. And I think – I'm not alone in saying, okay, it's time to really get serious and understand what, because I like Pinterest. So here's my goal today. I want, Leslie, I hope you're going to be able to show me how I can make Pinterest work for me. Does that make sense?
Of course it does. I mean, it's one of those amazing tools out there that in this world of social media that we're in, I mean, look at how much success we've all gotten from Facebook and Instagram. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
So why not take that same success and apply it to another tool that's out there that's very popular and very fun to use, and that's Pinterest. So
today's the day, folks.
It is. It definitely is.
Leslie's going to teach us how.
So Pinterest is one of the most popular social networks and visited sites on the web. There's like 100 million active users, not just people signed up, but active users. And you know what happens when you go and think about when you use Pinterest. So, Margaret, for what reason do you go on Pinterest?
I go for inspiration. I go
right.
when I'm looking for solutions to problems. You know, I'm setting up a new studio. I am all over artist studios on Pinterest. Yeah, I use it when I'm looking for inspiration, like for ideas.
So here's what that means is Pinterest is a search engine. It really is.
Yeah.
Instead of going to Google and say typing in ways to organize your studio, you go to Pinterest and you type in ways to organize your studio. So realize realize how Instagram is not a search engine. You don't go to Instagram and type in, you can't. It doesn't work that way. But Pinterest is a search engine, and that that number one thing right there should be, wow, that is really powerful. It is visually probably the best option out there in social media as far as when it comes to photos. That's what we all look at, right?
Yep.
And
yep.
Pinterest kind of talks about themselves as a bookmarking website, and that's just because people can pin whatever they've found on the web to their Pinterest boards. So it's a search engine, but it's a way to, when you find something that you like, you can save it in your style of organization, which is your boards.
Right.
So that is really good to know too. Now, 96% of Pinterest users use Pinterest to research what they're buying. Think about that.
Yep.
So of these like 100 million active users, 96 million of them go to Pinterest to buy something or to look for something
that's
to buy.
Phenomenal.
So that should be a huge wake-up call of like, oh, wow, if I want to sell my art, maybe that's what I should do. I mean, it's incredible. And then on top of that, 80% of people report that Pinterest helped them decide what to purchase. So, I mean, if people want to buy something, this is where they're going. So hopefully that's enough to say, okay, yeah, I get this. I really need to figure out how to use Pinterest. Because it's really, I mean, yeah, it is so much better, believe it or not, than Instagram in influencing purchasing decisions, which is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And so another thing, more than half of these people that are buying things have an income of more than $50,000. And 55% of online shoppers report that Pinterest is their favorite social media platform, which is cool. And Pinterest users spend 2 times more money online than the average Internet user. So I think that's probably.
Sense.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
when I think about it, it does make sense. Ugh.
Yeah. So here's the
okay.
thing. It's my most important point, and I'm going to be speaking at a conference in less than a month, and I'm doing a seminar on Instagram with a friend of mine. My whole mantra about social media, because there's so much of it out there and you can get so buried, you have to do something that stands you apart from everyone else, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And my belief is that you need to share and not just show. So if my Instagram account was, hi, here's my kitchen. Hi, here's my craft room. Hi, here's my new rug. That's fine. But instead it's, hi, here's my kitchen. Let me show you how to make homemade pasta. Or, hi, here's my craft room. Look at these incredible crepe paper flowers. Let me teach you how to make them.
Yeah.
There's a huge difference between saying, look how pretty my house is or look how pretty my art is versus showing them something that people truly believe they don't want to miss out on. And it's a fine line of distinction, but I truly believe it's the secret of whether you're going to make it or not on social media. Does that make sense?
It does, because I'm thinking about my mind is, of course, I'm completely self-centered on this, so I'll just put that out there.
That's a good thing.
But it's when I look at, you know, I'll be honest, I sort of had stepped away from Pinterest until I needed to find stuff. And when I decided, oh, I want a really cool table, I think I need to think about what kind of a table I want. What did I do? I went to Pinterest to see what other artists have for storage or tables in their studios.
Right.
And I started to, it was interesting because they'll often say things like, oh, this was made from IKEA. And then they tell me how. And when they start to tell me how it's done,
mm-hmm.
yes,
yeah.
it's so much more useful. It's like, it's the most, what's the word? It's kind of relaxing, honestly. I can easily lose time when I start watching these things. But you're right. It's when I see an image and I get information that
mm-hmm.
I'm kind of apt to return and keep looking at what's pinned on other people's boards. Yeah. Now,
and it's all about differentiating yourself from everybody else. And someone out there is going to have a prettier art studio than you, or someone out there is going to have better
sure.
art than you, or someone out there in the home decor industry, I guarantee, is going to have a better looking house than you do. But you have to create that, oh my gosh, I wonder what she's going to do now. I wonder what she's going to show us and what can I learn. Can I learn how to organize my paints in a studio? I'm not. These aren't things that have to cost you money. This is just sharing your knowledge, your viewpoint, what you know, your experience. And that is what I'm telling you is going to get people to follow you. And
and the resources.
I could go on and – pardon?
Right. And the resources. Like when someone shows you a really cool way that they're storing their oil paints, if they tell me what they used for clips to hang them or, you know, whatever it is, when I get the resources, like, okay, that looks great, but they tell me how they did it, then it's worth a lot more to me.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All right. Well, you can bet I'm going to be on Pinterest all weekend because my family, the rest of them are all off playing golf. Now, here's the next thing, because I understand how I use Pinterest to find the images and information. I get that. But can I really use Pinterest to sell art?
Of course you can, because think about when you are looking to how to organize your studio, a lot of the results that come up are things that you can buy, right? They really are.
Right.
So you can always... So Pinterest, just like Facebook and Instagram, if you want to get really into it and do some targeting and run what's called an ad, you can target your audience and you can make sure that what you're doing gets in front of the right people. And, I mean, I think there's like 500 different fields that you can target. I mean, so if you're painting very large, abstract-y, seascape representational paintings. You can target people who live at the beach and own a beach house and love art and also drink wine and have an income of over a certain amount of money. I mean, you can really kind of target down to find those people. But before you get to that, you really need to build up your Pinterest page, if you will, so that when someone does come your way, they don't just see pictures of paintings. They see a lot more that grabs them and that's interesting. And it's really important to be able to organize your Pinterest page in the right way, visually make sure that all your pictures are good. If they're not, hide them, because you can hide anything you want on Pinterest so people can't see it. And if you hide it, you can go into your hidden page and you can say, okay, no, I'm going to repost this, but I'm going to do it with a different picture. I mean, you can do a lot of things, but you have to have a good product before you start spending money trying to advertise what you're doing. So it's really important just to be able to kind of get your act together first.
And I don't know if we're going to get into this later, but if you start, because I think that's really good advice, right? It's sort of like someone who says, oh, I want to drive traffic to my website, but they haven't bothered to get their website tuned up.
Exactly.
And they don't have their latest images on there. I mean, you know, here's the big surprise, right? It takes work if you want to earn some income from this.
Well, not only that, but you don't want to spend money and effort and time in getting people to come to your website and then lose them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You don't want them to
go,
ooh, and walk away or go, oh, I couldn't find a painting. Right. Or, I mean, you really have to have all your ducks in order before you kind of do this. And the same thing goes with how your Pinterest page looks. So.
So it is work, but I'm here to say it's kind of fun work. And it can be, well, sort of like yesterday, you know, my daughter sort of cracking the whip over me saying, just get on QuickBooks. I'm going to make you do this. And she did, and I did, and I'm happy for it. I think that you can also take it in little bites. You know, decide that for the next 2 weeks you're going to get your website updated, and if you have to take new images of your paintings or whatever, do it. If you have to rewrite some copy, do it. I mean, you can get yourself primed. But once let's assume you have that, and let's assume you've spent enough time on your Pinterest pages that you're pretty happy with the way they look. How do you go about finding, you were talking about targeting your audience. How do you find your audience on Pinterest?
Well, here's the thing about Pinterest. Like Instagram is kind of like, I want you to come to my Instagram. Pinterest is, I want you to come to my Pinterest and click to go to my blog or my website, right? So it's like that middle point of, oh, look, I found them, and then I want to send them to somewhere else. And that's a really important thing to remember how Pinterest works for you. So if you're going to do that, you have to understand, of course, who's out there that you're trying to target. And you have to look at who your audience is right now. I mean, you could look on Facebook or Instagram and look at your demographics and at least see who's looking at you there, because I think that's the first thing you can do. And it used to be that, like, everyone that was on Pinterest was women, which is fine, but now 40% of the audience is men, which I think is a good thing, because men probably buy more art than women. I don't know that for sure, but I think so. So the point is, you have to kind of grab your audience. And so you can do that by kind of coming up with some targets. And you can target people based on their interests. You want to use keywords. Anytime you do anything online and on social media, if you use keywords, that's going to pull up whatever you're writing in perhaps Google. So if you're painting paintings of cows, you need to darn well make sure in the description of whatever you're doing, it says cows, farm animals, paintings of farm animals, whatever the proper search terminology is, that has to be in there. It is so important, because you're not going to be able to sit there and go, okay, I need to find men who are 45 to 65, who make over $100,000 a year, who live on a farm or who collect farm art. You more want to have a description of what your product is, and they'll find you. Make sense?
I have a question. Yeah, it does. But does it cost? I mean, this is when you're setting up an ad. I know on Facebook,
This is just in general? Absolutely. Every single time you post something on Pinterest, I do this from my blog. I have to think about what my keywords are, because if they're the whole point of people finding your art is not them coming from the people you already know. It's the people who live in another country who've never heard of you, who Google something and your post comes up, and then they buy your art. Because there's a lot more people out there who don't know you, and that's where you want to find that. That's why search engine optimization is so important with blogging, because you want to do everything you can in your power that if someone's trying to find paintings on cows, your information pops up. If whatever you do doesn't say a word about any of that, it just has a picture of your cow painting, you'll never, ever be seen. So the same goes for Pinterest. Because you know how you search something and you'll see Pinterest posts will pop up? If you can have that happen, you can find your audience will find you. And that's not paid. That's just setting up your Pinterest in the right way.
Okay.
Which is unbelievable. But if you do want to run an ad, Pinterest makes it easier for you, because you can kind of pare down the free world that sees your ad. And Pinterest is going to show your ad to people who you identify that you think can be your buyers. And that's huge, because instead of randomly having them find you, Pinterest is then going to push your ad out to people who you think, based on certain keywords and certain demographics, might actually be interested in buying your art.
So you need to think like your buyer and think, how would they search to find your work?
Absolutely.
Right? Like, you need to imagine, put yourself in their shoes, so to speak, and think about what words they might use when they type in for a search.
There was a great example I found online for someone who was promoting kid-friendly snacks. And what the article suggested is that you try targeting people interested in parenting, healthy snacks. Those kinds of words might be what they search for when they're looking for kid-friendly snacks.
Interesting.
And so you have to kind of think a little bit outside the box. So it's kind of a two-way street. One is, anyone out there Googling or searching or on Pinterest who's looking for cow art, what can you do in your post on Pinterest that will help them find you? And then if you want to take it a step further and actually do some target ads, what can you do to narrow down the audience that Pinterest is going to send your information out to?
Interesting. So, okay.
Yeah. No, it's pretty incredible. If you ask me, it's really cool.
It's amazing. All right. And then are there any constraints on what kind of keywords you can use? Like, do they ever, you know, not let you use some words because they're like you, trademarked? I mean, like, what are the constraints on it?
I mean, you
can you just write anything?
You can, but you have to be, here's the problem. The way most of the pricing on ads work on social media is they charge you per the number of people that see your ad. So you want to narrow it down the best you can to get to the right people. So if your keywords are too broad for that, it might be a problem. You want your Pinterest posts, just when you create them and you just stick them on Pinterest, you want them to be seen by the right people. So you have to be really smart. The first thing I would do is go to the artists who you think are doing super great on Pinterest and see what keywords they're using.
That's a great idea.
I mean, learn from someone else's artwork.
Right. No. I mean, you know, so many of us, like, you think, well, I can't even imagine how to do that. But you probably know someone who paints seascapes, if you're a seascape painter. So, yeah, maybe someone else has already sort of figured it out. I know, we all feel like this is so daunting, but really, it kind of seems like the whole world is using it. So, why not?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
What do you think the best way for someone who is an artist, what's the best sort of schedule, or like how should they use Pinterest? Does it need to be daily?
Okay. So believe it or not, there's all these people who are like psychotic in a good way about about Pinterest. And everyone says you should post on Pinterest between 10 and 30 times a day. Now, I'm like, seriously, when would I be doing that between like 2:30 and 3:15 a.m.? And these are people who, most of these people are trying to get people to go to their blogs because they have ads on their blogs, and so you get paid per number of people that click on your blog, not even on the ad. And some of these people are making literally $1 million a year just from this. It's completely insane. So they're allowed to be a little bit narcotic or psychotic in a good way. So I think some of the daily routines that you can have is anytime you write a blog post, anytime you post kind of anything on social media, like a lot of people will write a blog post and they'll post it on Facebook and they'll post it on Instagram. Well, you need to add Pinterest as one of those options, 100%. That just needs to become part of what you do. But here's the thing. On your Pinterest page, you can't just post your own stuff. You have to post to your boards other people's stuff because Pinterest wants this to be like a sharing. And apparently they have some crazy algorithm that has the ability to somehow kind of figure out what is happening. So it's really important that you do that. Now, the first thing you're going to want to do, of course, is show off your art. And so you need boards on your Pinterest, and you absolutely need to have a board that's a portfolio of your work. Okay? So every painting that you love should be on there. Now, you also can have reference pin boards, because if your whole Pinterest is just your art, it needs to be more than that because you're just showing, you're not sharing. So what if you had a couple of boards that were about how to hang your art, how to show your art? And so you're narrowing down all that art information for people who may come to your Pinterest page who are collecting art, and they may see some really great ideas. Make sense? then you probably need to create some of those educational boards yourself.
Right.
That's really important
and
as well.
And kind of fun.
Yeah.
So I'm okay
the other thing is people love, we call them DIYs, but basically they love seeing the process of something being created. And so when it comes to your art, it's really important to show that process. Just be careful when you do it, because there is this thing about Pinterest being very pretty. And so you don't need to show 40 different photographs. You might want to, you know, I would maybe, if I was going to do like a how-to on Pinterest, I'd probably have two photos on my Pinterest image. One would be maybe a sketch or maybe a picture of what I was painting, and the other one would be the finished painting, and then there would be the option to click to my blog post or my website to see the whole process. That's how I would do that.
That's kind of smart, because that way you
don't
control quality of the picture that you're
If you pin 30 pins of the process of your painting, someone may repin one that's just like some scary looking thing on your easel that's not even close to being identifiable. You know what I mean? So you have to be smart about what can be repinned.
Okay.
So,
all right. That's great.
Yeah.
All right.
No, it works really
well. Yes, artists. We're giving everyone more work to do, but it's going to be worth it. Well, really, the question that's asked over and over is, how do I sell my work? And I think we have to get smart about using what's out there. So, Leslie, what tips do you have? Like, for someone like me, an artist who's getting started on Pinterest, what's the best way to kind of launch into this without getting completely overwhelmed?
The first thing I would do is I would go to your current Pinterest page and kind of check it out and see what needs to be taken off. But most importantly, make sure – pardon?
I said probably all of it.
No. Definitely not all of it. But the most important thing, make sure that every pin has a link to your website or to the page where you can buy that painting. Because so many people pin things and don't realize that there's no link. And then if someone else repins it, they'll never find you.
Okay.
And it's really important that you do it right, because you want to be able to make sure that when someone repins it, it takes your link and it carries through as it's getting repinned around Pinterest. And that's just – I'm not going to get into the specifics on how you do that. It's pretty basic, but you can just Google that. All you do is go into Pinterest, go into your page, start clicking on the images and see if where it takes you, and make sure it's taking people to where you want it to take you.
All right. And I just want to go back to something you said, which is like the best resource in the world. If somebody gets hung up on this and you Google how to start, you know, using Pinterest to sell art, you will get answers. And if you ask questions specifically about something, you get stuck, you know, a point where you can't seem to figure out what to do, the answer is always there. And what I love is sometimes you can even watch a video where they'll walk you through it. So everyone should, do that. It makes it so, so much easier to understand. Yeah.
I totally agree. And so that linking back is so important. Because you know how you see something really great on Pinterest and you're so excited and you click it and it doesn't go anywhere? It's so frustrating.
Uh-huh.
And
so
the
frustrating.
The other thing is you have to think about using a program like Canva or all of those little programs you can use on your phone or on the computer where you can make a visually appealing graphic of a picture and some words. And if you just go through Pinterest, you see how many people do a great job of having a really nice graphic or a really nice photo and then a graphic that says how to hang your art. That just by having that, you're like, I want to click that. I'd love to know how do you get those paintings straight when you're hanging like four paintings, you know? Or, you know, how to mix oil paints. Whatever it may be, you want to start really thinking about creating a nice graphic. I have it down now where when I do a blog post, I always create a nice graphic for Pinterest for my blog post, and it takes me probably less than 5 minutes to do that. It's really fast.
Really?
And I do it on my phone on Canva, C-A-N-V-A.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Canva is an app. You just go to the App Store and you can download
Yeah, and
it.
You can. It's easier to use it on your computer, but I'm typically on my phone at the time, so I just do it that way.
Absolutely.
The other thing you want to do is have a business profile, and that's because you get more data on your account, and you can get what's called rich pins, which I'll explain in a minute. And yeah, it doesn't cost any money or anything. You just have to set it up that way. You can upgrade to it.
Yeah,
there's
so you
no charge.
Go into your profile. Is that where you upgrade from your own profile?
Yes. Yeah. And
or else I'll
okay,
Google,
so,
I'll Google it.
And you really do need a business page because Pinterest has insights, and it's really helpful to see where you who's looking at your art and where they're coming from. Another thing that you can use on Pinterest, you know, when you have every picture, there's that little weird graphic on the bottom right-hand side where if you click on it, it shows any pictures that look like yours or are that are your picture. I occasionally click on those, and I get mad because people who have used my images and don't give me any credit, and, you know, it just makes me mad because sometimes I'll find people who are like, this is my kitchen. I'm like, no, it's not. It's my kitchen. Stop it. But that's kind of a good tool too, because you can just kind of see what else is out there that looks like your art if you want, which is kind of cool. The other thing is you want to put a pin it button on your website and on your blog so that anyone who goes to your website or your blog can pin something from your website or your blog to their Pinterest page.
Right. They can just go right up and click it. Yeah. That's
because they may have a secret board called Art I Want to Buy. And you want to make it as easy as possible that your painting can be put on that page.
All right. That's
and then the last thing is you want to enable what's called rich pins. And do you want me to explain what that rich pins are?
I do. I think we have to,
Okay. These are pins on Pinterest that have extra information attached to the pin. The definition from Pinterest, I'll read it, but then I'm going to explain it to you by an example because you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Rich pins show metadata right on the pin itself. Okay, metadata. I don't like that word. Giving pinners a richer experience and increasing engagement. Information in a rich pin is independent of the pin description, ensuring that important information is always tied to the pin. There are four types of rich pins, an app, an article, a product, and recipe pins. Okay. You know when you go through Pinterest and you're looking for a recipe for artichoke dip, a lot of times you'll just see a picture with words, how to make artichoke dip. But another time you'll come up to one and, like, the recipe kind of shows up with it. You know what I'm talking about on Pinterest? That is a rich pin. It pulls data from your blog post or your website and just shows more.
Making it easier for a buyer. Got it.
Of course. And more importantly, you don't have to type in all that stuff when you post your pin because it's like it enables to go in and pull it for you. I mean, it's so cool. And they'll show your meta description, which is what you'll type up about it, the published date, usually your name. And as I mentioned with recipe pins, it can show ingredients, cooking time, serving information. If you have product pins, it can show real-time pricing, availability, where to buy. If you have a verified Pinterest account, and that's how you get rich pins, it adds your branding to the pins, your icon, and your name that's used on Pinterest. I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing. So it's really easy to do, and it saves you a lot of time. So
does a rich pin only come with the business profile, or can anyone use them?
No, you have to have a business account to do it.
Okay. And is there an additional, like, a cost associated with that?
No.
Okay. That's key then. Because when you were describing it, I was thinking, oh, I bet this is going to be pricey. So,
no, it doesn't cost
there's
anything.
There's a reason not to do that. That's terrific.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Good one. Now let's see. What else do we want to know about this?
Number nine.
I know. How do you get rich pins?
There's three things you have to do. And you're just going to have to Google this because I don't think we have time to go into all that. But you have to add metadata to your site. You have to validate and apply for rich pins.
Oh.
So and when I say validate, you have to validate your Pinterest so they have to know that you're like the real deal and not some spam thing or, you know. So they have to do that.
Yeah.
And then once you've validated your Pinterest, then you have to apply for it, which is not that big of a deal. And you need to then, for every Pinterest pin you do, you just have to create a compelling title and a description so that information can get pulled from what you do.
Okay.
So
just they can find it, yeah. All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll be Googling a lot of this, but you definitely have my interest is piqued.
Do me a favor.
What do you think?
Next time you go on Pinterest, Margaret, just in the back of your mind, look for rich pins, and they will stand out so much now that you know what you're looking for.
Okay.
And you'll see the difference.
That'll be in about 20 minutes, I would guess. I'm going to be all over this. All right.
Yeah.
What are the biggest mistakes, do you think, that, I guess people, but artists especially, make on Pinterest?
I think the biggest mistake I make is I go on Pinterest to do something and I get lost in the big black hole because I just am so enamored with all of this stuff. And then I see something and I click on. And every time you click on something, the information below gets more narrowed down. You probably noticed that.
Yeah.
So if you're on Pinterest and you're looking for coastal paintings, you type in coastal paintings, and then you see paintings. And when you tap on one, below that, you'll see more coastal paintings that look like the one you tapped on. And then you keep going and going. And it's literally a black hole. So you have to be really good about not letting Pinterest suck all your time up and not being productive. You may want to consider using something like Tailwind. There's other programs, too, that allow you to schedule your pins, which is so nice. Because you just go into this little program and you just click on things from your Instagram or from Facebook and it'll automatically pull over that data and that picture and it'll schedule it as a Pinterest pin. Now, to do a certain number on a monthly basis, there is a fee. It might be like 30 or more a month or something, but you know, it's probably going to be, if you just did the free version, it's probably going to be 30 more than you'd normally do, and you'll do it in 100th the amount of time. So why not? It's called Tailwind, just so you know.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Another problem is inconsistency. You can't be on Pinterest and pin a whole bunch for 2 days and then not do anything for 30 days. It's just like Instagram. You kind of have to be consistent. And pinning a few today and nothing for weeks will only hurt you. So it's really important to say, okay, I'm going to spend 10 minutes on Instagram a day. And I'm going to pin my stuff. And then I'm going to pin something else. And I'm going to do 5 things a day, whether it's my stuff or other stuff too. And that's easy to do. It's not hard at all.
Yeah.
But it's just taking
it's all
about the time
and
doing it. Yeah. And the last thing is a big mistake is only pinning your own stuff. You cannot do that. Pinterest is all about everybody sharing and they will actually penalize you without you ever knowing it. If you only selfishly pin your own stuff. You can pin all of your own stuff that you want. Just don't expect anyone to see it or anyone else to pin it.
It's so true.
I know.
All right. Now,
crazy.
I know that you're like this resource that, believe it or not, I can tap into anytime I want to.
You know what I can tell you, though? I am the weakest on all social media. I'm weakest on Pinterest.
Really? Well, you know, I think
It's okay, though, because, like, depending on what works for you, everyone's going to have a different thing that's, like, their favorite.
Right.
I just think when you hear the statistics and when people look and find out that new viewers are coming to their website overwhelmingly from Pinterest, I just think even if you can't be great at it, as you said, even if you just take a free version and you only do 30 images a month, it's 30 more. And gosh, with 100 million people looking, why wouldn't we try it? There's no reason not to.
It's hard to get to 30 a day.
30 a day,
but,
my gosh.
But here's the thing about Pinterest, Margaret, is it's not like you pin something once. You have to pin things multiple times, and because it kind of goes away and it gets lost, and you can see how many people. I have some pins that have been repinned 100,000 times.
Good Lord!
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah,
that's a lot of eyeballs, Leslie.
Huh?
That's a lot of eyeballs.
I know, and I cannot figure out how or why that happened. I still have no clue. I mean, sometimes I think, oh, that's a good picture. That's going to be good. But you have to figure out how to create something appealing and that people are going to want to save it. And that's repinning it, basically, because they pin it on one of their boards.
Sure.
And then their people see it, which is great. But the thing about your pins is you have to make sure you're doing everything correctly, as I mentioned.
Yeah.
Make sure that you don't just pin your artwork. Don't forget you have to have a description. You should include things like, keywords like styled, medium, is it watercolor or is it oil painting? And you always have your art business name in there. Think about if someone is looking to buy the painting that's on your easel right now, what do you think they would Google to try to find that painting? That helps you understand maybe what some of those keywords should be that are in your description, which I think is really important. But Margaret, you touched on something that I can't believe I didn't mention that I think is probably the most important thing of this whole show, and that is go to your Google Analytics and look at who's coming to your blog or your website right now and see how many people are coming from Pinterest, because it's probably more than you think. And
do you want to tell folks how to find that?
There's a thing called Google Analytics.
Mm-hmm.
You just want to Google that and set it up for your website or your blog or whatever. And once you set it, I actually have it as a bookmark on my computer, and I'll go on there because what can happen is when I pressed post for a blog post, I can see all day long how many people are currently on my site, where they came from. So I can see, okay, how did people come to my site? Did they come from my newsletter my email blast that went out telling them, hey, I have this new blog post. Are they coming from Pinterest? Are they coming from someone else who shared me? And all that information is there and free and available to you. And you don't want to get too bogged down into figuring it all out, because you'll spend all your time doing that and doing nothing else. But just know that you kind of have to have a glimpse of what's happening, because then you'll never know if you do all this work on Pinterest if it ever worked. You kind of have to have a benchmark.
I have to say, I like the benchmarks because it kind of like it fuels the fire. You know, if I see it's working, that's the best incentive for me to sort of follow your rules and like do it every day and share other accounts. It just makes sense. It kind of gets you, you know, we become very goal oriented.
Yeah, but Google Analytics is a really great thing to have. It's a really great thing to have. And then the last thing about tips when you're pinning your own artwork is make sure that you check the links. And if you need to fix a link, you click on the pin, you hit edit, and you add the link to your website that you want them to see. That's all you have to do. Mm-hmm. And you may have a ton of pins in there that you've never put the link. Well, now is the time to add it.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So So what would you say an artist's goal should be for Pinterest? Like, what, ideally, what's the goal?
You want other people to see and buy your artwork. And I think that's,
yeah.
It can't be just to buy because people have to see it first. So that's why I said see and buy. And this will most likely happen if other people repin your pins. Because when someone repins your art to their page, it's going to include all the right information and the correct link where they can go to buy it. So all of their followers who then would see it on their page might pin it. And then there, it's like this big pyramid.
Yeah.
And
that's great.
I mean, then all these people who didn't even know you existed are now seeing your artwork because of Pinterest. I mean, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Can you imagine being an artist in the days before we even had social media?
It was a different game. There's no question about it. But I have to say, even for buyer, it's such a different game, and it's a lot more fun for them. Rather than only going to a local gallery or something, now, you know, people can see art from everywhere.
And I
All
think
right.
your
Here's
goal,
yeah.
let me just ask one
Go
more
ahead.
Thing on your goal. It should really be to have fun. I don't think it would be that fun if all you were doing is just pinning your art. I think it would be a lot more fun if you created some really cool boards that were kind of like a great information resource for anyone looking to buy art. I kind of talked about this before. And so, and you know, even if it's just you going out there and creating these boards and just pinning everybody else's stuff that helps guide people, maybe it's, you know, maybe there's one on oil painting and you pin tons and tons of, you know, artists doing tutorials. I mean, who knows?
Yep.
But make it fun. If it's boring, you're not going to do it. You're not going to stick with it, and it's not worth the effort at all.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when do you think you first got on Pinterest? How long have you been pinning? What would you say? 4 years? More?
You know, I should look back because I actually have two Pinterest accounts. I have one for my art. It's probably been more like 8 years. I would think, when I started pinning my art. And then I was pinning stuff for my workshops, and I was pinning things for the merchandise that I was selling, and I was pinning things about the AHA show. I mean, there's a lot of stuff you can find that you can include on Pinterest. I mean, think about it. If it's a search engine, you know, people are going to go on there searching for everything.
That's what I do.
Yeah.
So do you have any long time? I mean, you're obviously one of the sort of, I don't want to say the oldest, that's not what I mean, but you have more experience on Pinterest than a lot of the people I know. Do you have any sort of long time Pinterest advice that you would share before we close out this program?
Of course. You know me, I always have something
to
say. Okay. I think you need to look at Pinterest as a long term project because you can't get amazing feedback just by going on for a week and pinning things. It's not going to happen. It takes time. And it's work.
Right.
You have to work at it. You really do. And you have to go back and do things that look at your profile. And people want to know more about you. So make sure that there's a link in your profile to your artist's website. Make sure that your artist statement is the right thing you want people to know about you. You have to pin regularly. You have to. And there's some people who literally, I know, pin 30 times a day and they spend half hour on Pinterest. And that's it. And then what they do is they go into their like blog posts and they pin every picture directly, and they change the title around a little bit so it's not all the same thing. And so all these different images from one blog post go on there, and then they go back in time. Let's say you're doing summer stuff. You find your old summer blog posts, and they pin all those from a year ago. And it's not like you have to necessarily create something. You're just kind of highlighting something you've already done. So it's not as hard as it sounds. It's really not. So it's important to kind of understand that, you don't have to do the fancy Canva type pin images. You can just pin a gorgeous picture of you, of one of your paintings that you have from, you know, the past. Another thing is to add prices.
I agree.
Yeah. And
yes.
You can, it's just really important. And Rich Pins can incorporate that information for you, which is really good. And the other thing is share other people's pins as well as your own. And if you have artists that you like, share their art. You may decide you don't want to share another artist that paints exactly like you do in the same material. But if someone's
sure.
out there searching for a cow painting, in their mind, they may want only a watercolor painting. And if they come to your site and find other artists, they're going to be spending time on your site. Even if your artist's not what they're looking for, you're still
mm-hmm.
grabbing them. And remember, and maybe they wanted an abstract cow painting. So maybe you have that on there too. I mean, think about what you paint and think about how other artists paint it differently and include some of that. How cool would that be?
That's a great idea. It really
yeah.
is. And who knows? You'll probably, you know, you could get some feedback from those artists.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of nice
I would,
to have people share back.
Yeah. I would, maybe they'll do the same to you. I would hands down have a board with pictures of your paintings hanging in people's homes that have purchased them. I would definitely do that.
Mm-hmm.
I would have a board with testimonials from your collectors. If you teach,
mm-hmm.
I absolutely would have boards on your workshops, fun pictures, students' work. People love to see that. If people want to take a watercolor class, they're probably going to put it into Pinterest. You want your board to come up that shows everything about your teaching. And you can even, the other thing you want to do is as
mm-hmm.
your brand and you talk about your art, send people to Facebook or Instagram and or Pinterest. Let them know you have this. Because sometimes we forget to do that. We just assume they've already found us. That's not
really
usually
smart.
The case.
That
which
is so true.
Frustrating.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. I love it. All right.
Did I
well,
thoroughly
I'm,
confuse
I,
you? Or?
No. I think for me, I can only speak for myself. I was very lazy on this because, honestly, in the back of my mind, I knew it was something that needed to happen. And I thought, oh, I can ask Leslie all about this. And she'll explain it to us. And I think that what you've done is you've kind of underscored the importance of this. You know, I know that my biggest hurdle in this little art life of mine is trying to, where we started the show, it's having the list and having too many things on it. So I'm making priorities and I'm trying to carve out my day differently and all of that. But I can see the value in this and I can certainly see in giving it a good 6 month run. And that's probably what I'll do is just, I think I have Canva. I'm going to take a look at Tailwind because I know myself. I think like a lot of artists, it's hard for me to predict what I will be able to commit to every single day, but scheduling it, knowing that I could spend a morning and having many posts scheduled, that kind of speaks to me. So, yeah. And,
well,
you know
what the problem is, Margaret? Is creative people, our brains don't work like most people. Thank God.
Yeah.
We don't have that innate ability to wake up every morning and from 8 to 8:30 always do one thing and then from 8:30 to 9 always do another. We don't work that way. And so creative
True.
People are more like, whoa, I'm feeling a painting. I'm going to go paint it, which is so awesome. But we have to struggle every single day with having the discipline to do the marketing and to do those things that we don't. I love to do it, which I think has helped me a ton, but it's just not kind of
yeah.
how we're wired. It's not a bad thing, but it's something we have to recognize, and that because that's the way it is, how do we overcome that? And
right.
a lot of it is just discipline, but it's different. I know how my creative brain works. And even though I know I have to do some things, I'm, you know, sitting there at 12 o'clock nodding off in the middle of a blog post when I probably could have done it 3 days ago. Hello.
I think we can all relate to that one. Absolutely. I usually think, oh my gosh, I've answered the phone in the middle. Well, it's like 11 o'clock at night when I've already gone to bed. And I know I've had conversations I don't remember. That's a little scary. What? My sister will say, what were you talking about? Oh, yes. The life is hard. But anyway, well, this is very inspirational. Thank you for this. And I'll let you know how it's going. I hope our listeners will let us know how it's going. And, we'll be asking a lot more questions, I'm sure. So thank you.
We will be. My pleasure. And thank you. What a great idea for a show. And there's a lot that we have to still do.
Yeah. All right. Well, get some sleep, and we will talk next week.
All right. Thanks, Margaret.
Thanks, Leslie.
Bye.
Bye-bye.